Well, good morning. Glad you're here this morning. This is kind of a special day in many regards. A special day for the parents of those who have just given glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in their baptism. And that, too, makes it a special day for us as we observe that and celebrate that and seek to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. But it is Father's Day. And I knew Pastor Tyler had assigned me to this Sunday morning for some time ago, and I knew that it was Father's Day, and so I tried to direct my thoughts to that. And so, ladies, feel free to listen in, but I'm speaking to the men. When we hear the expression, a knight in shining armor, it usually depicts a young lady's love as she sweeps her off her feet. He sweeps her off her feet and carries her away to that happy ever after land. But I wonder if the depiction more adequately describes Dad. For the most part, is he not depicted as the protector, the provider, the leader with given authority? He is the one stereotyped as, my dad is stronger than your dad. Or, when I grow up, I want to be just like my dad. Isn't he the one who is the strong one, the gallant one, the one who, if he can't fix it, it can't be fixed. I remember Sue and I were doing a pastoral call in a senior's home, and the lady of the home was putting together some snacks for us, and she got a jar and she couldn't open it. This isn't the jar. And so she took it to her husband. And as we get older, our muscles aren't quite he was struggling with it. And she said, oh, here. And she picks out a spoon and sticks the spoon in and just gives it a pry. It released the vacuum, then she easily opened it up. And they had been married for quite a few years. He had long passed the humiliation of that. But I was so, I'm going to have to remember that. But guys, do we not have that image? A shining knight image? Do we not own that in so many different ways? So let me ask you, what kind of polish are you using? How do you present yourself to your friends, your fellow workers, your brothers in Christ? Or more importantly, how do you present yourself to your family, your kids, your wife? Let me share a few different kinds of polish that I have seen used. There's the silver polish. That is probably viewed as most common. We apply silver polish when we are trying to present a very positive, upstanding, a good image at work, at church, in public. For the most part, during the day. But when we get home, all that scrubbing and rubbing and buffing can become burdensome. And so at the end of the day, off it comes, so we are ready to dump all that shimmer and shine. And at home, we are not quite that valiant picture of chivalry and courtesy and cooperation. No, we can be tired and sweaty and smelly and irritable and not all that pleasant to be around. It's easy for us to to use that polish. O night, be on guard of that. Some use sulfuric acid, and let me explain that a little bit. I had a good friend who used to drive a gas truck, oil truck, and he said periodically they would give them a wash of sulfuric acid, which would clean them up wonderfully. But he said the acid was so strong that it would pit the trucks. And when they got dirty again, it would be much more difficult to clean the dirt off when they're in all those pit marks. And maybe that's how some of us are. We would get really challenged or convicted by going to some good seminar. We want to be that good, godly father, husband, Christian. And so at a seminar or a conference or going to doing a personal study, and we get thoroughly washed. But after a while, when we start getting dirty again, letting those commitments slide, and indeed in need of another good cleaning, it's a little bit more difficult. Please understand, I'm not speaking against such commitments and conferences and seminars and retreats and studies. We all need to be thoroughly clean from time to time. But if that's what it takes for us to living to our level of commitment that we're striving to achieve, it could possibly get harder and harder to rise to that level of emotional resolve. Some may use vanishing cream. I'm not speaking to those whose job or responsibility takes them away from home, but what is our appearance when it should be at home? When we could be at home? Do we ever find ourselves wondering if there is something else that we can do or invest our time rather than getting at home until at least maybe it's closer for the kids to go to bed? Or maybe spending more time than we need to in our shop, in our man cave, at the club, or engaged in an activity that our family understands Dad does not want to be disturbed when he's doing that. Another polish I would present in this means of introduction is moisturizing cream. I understand it may not be good on armor as we are going to war, but it is a great polish for husbands and for dads. It softens the exterior, making us more sensitive and aware of the situations and concerns around us. It even penetrates into the inner parts, the heart, the mind, the emotion. There's a verse in Scripture that was read for us this morning that speaks directly to dads regarding their role in raising their children. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Scripture is laying out for us as fathers our responsibility in rearing our children. There are other scriptures in God's word that tells us, speaks to us, addresses us as our role in the family. But this focuses on the responsibility of our children. So we see here, we are not to provoke them. In the time when this letter was written, around 61, the Romans were the ruling empire of the world. Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison in Rome. is part of the prison epistles of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And this was written at a time for in a Roman home, the father was supreme authority of that home. When a child was born into that household, it was brought to him. If he picked it up, that meant the child was accepted in that home. If he didn't pick it up, the child then could be sold or given away or even left to die from exposure. With such authority, a father could legally abuse his children, indeed, his whole family, with little or no consequences. And here we see the Apostle Paul telling the Christian men how they are to treat their children, totally contrary to what was anticipated or expected in the Roman world. This is how the different translations read this verse. The ESV says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." The NIV, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." The Amplified translation says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment, which with demands that are trivial and unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them." There is a parallel passage to this in Colossians 3:21, where it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." To provoke or to exasperate someone is to excite them to anger, to irritate extremely. It would seem in Colossians 3 is to discourage them or causing them to lose heart. So how can we do this to our children? I don't mean that we be teasing them relentlessly as their brothers or sisters may do, but maybe it's saying one thing and doing something else. Always blaming, never praising. By being inconsistent or unfair with discipline. By showing favoritism in the home. By making promises and not keeping them. By making light of problems that, in the child's perspective, was no little thing. Doing these things, we realize, is poor parenting. We need to be sensitive and considerate to our children's needs, to their questions, to their concerns, to those things that affect the heart of our kids. Going on in Ephesians 6:4, "We are not to provoke them, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And breaking this up again, we see that the dads are to be involved in the raising of their children, not to abdicate it to their wives or to the child care providers. Let me say, I needed to be very careful if I ever overruled any of the suggestions or counsel that Sue gave when it came to our children. No one knew, understood, or loved them more in this world than their mother. But it didn't excuse me as their father to be part of their progress, growth, and development. I am pleased with the change that I've seen in society in this way. Let me try to illustrate. Though I was loved and appreciated my dad greatly, when I was young, I don't remember him having much to do with us when we were small, in our early growing years. He was the one who was responsible for bringing home the bacon, as it were. But as we grew, that changed significantly, as he would take us camping and canoeing and teach us how to grow gardens and work and he participated in stuff with us. I was probably similar to my father when our kids were really little. But as they got older, I was much more engaged with them. I don't see that in our own children. Our sons were much more involved in the lives of their children than I ever was. If I ever changed a diaper, there was particular reason for that. Either Sue was sick or not available. I don't see that with our kids. They are much more willing to engage and deal with stuff that I would often have just let that go and let Sue deal with it. But this scripture points out a very particular part of child rearing that dads are to make sure is to happen. And I believe that we will be held accountable and responsible for this in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Bible says the unsaved spouse is sanctified by being married to a believing spouse, whether that be the husband or the wife. In 1 Corinthians 7:14, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise their children are unclean, but now they are holy." Does this mean that the unbelieving spouse is saved because they are married to a believing spouse? No. But it does say that they are sanctified. Unger's Bible Dictionary defines sanctification as a separation from the secular and sinful, and setting apart for a sacred purpose. It also refers to the holiness of God as he is separated from evil. There's the sense of a separation, a setting apart. They are very privileged people to have a living witness, to be put in a place where there is constantly a believing spouse giving testimony, even in their silence, to their faith in the presence of a living God, a living Savior. To live that testimony before them day by day. And in like manner, I believe children of Christian parents are richly blessed, having their parents witness teaching and seeing their conviction lived out, their confidence in the Lord before them. And aside from that, the children enjoy the blessings, the benefits of praying parents on their behalf. But here in Scripture, God's Word gives us clear instructions to dad to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is not new instruction to the children of God. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, he communicated what God had communicated to him. And in that tone, it says in Deuteronomy 6:4-9, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall walk with and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands and on the frontals of your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It is in the home that the Christian life ought not only to be taught, but to be caught. Yes, I am thankful for Christian camps and vacation Bible schools and children's ministries like Awana and five-day clubs, for junior church and for Sunday schools where God's word is taught at a level that the children can hear and understand. But I tell you, there is no greater joy than to lead your own children to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes, they have a free will, and God will not remove that free will from them. But they should hear the gospel from you. And they should have no question where you stand, where your hope is for all eternity. So fathers, the responsibility of your children's Christian education rests on your shoulders, according to Ephesians 6. By all means, take them to VBA, to Vacation Bible School, and to Sunday school and other ministries targeted to share God's truth to them. But don't let these ministries take away your responsibility as their father in this area. As Paul writes, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So in conclusion, let me ask, what kind of fathers are we? Maybe it's time to take a careful look at the polish that we are using, particularly at home. What kind of image are we seeking to reflect? Or even not even seeking to reflect, but just do reflect. And who is our main concern? Let us be sensitive, leading, guiding, modeling, and instructing our children in the things of the Lord. I came across a comment of a father as the day of his daughter's wedding approached. This is the third of our four daughters, he said. And every time it happens, I'm obsessed with the feeling that I'm giving away $1 million Stradivarius to a gorilla. That got me thinking. If it were solely up to me and my actions and my attitudes at home, am I building $1 million Stradivarius or am I building a gorilla? Yes, we have a task. It is a great one. It's a joyful one. Let us be found faithful in training our children in the way that they should go. And happy Father's Day. You are richly blessed. Let me lead in prayer. Father, we do recognize that children are a blessing from you. May it be so. May it be a great joy in our hearts to have such privilege. Lord, we pray for the blessings that come into our home because of that. But also, Lord, we recognize that there are challenges. And we pray, we thank you that you make yourself available to us We can call upon you in times of confusion and need. In need of direction. Lord God, we recognize that there may be some here who have significant disappointments in their life. Thank you that you are a personal God that even hears these prayers and these cries. Lord, may this day be a joyful one. May we recognize the blessings of being dads. Thank you for your clear instruction in this area. Lord God, help us to live in accordance to your counsel, your instruction, your word. That our children may come and know and grow in you and live for you. As we saw, witnessed before us this morning, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.